Looking the last couple of weeks in Romans 1:23, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, to birds, four-footed beast, and creeping things. This is a advancement, if you will, a progression upon professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And in verse 23, they replaced God. We spent a lot of time on verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And every day, you can read a headline and you could write that verse above it. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Most of you probably saw San Francisco City Board of Supervisors decide to ban certain words, such as convicted felons. They're not going to call them convicted felons anymore, but instead justice-involved individuals. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And by the way, the people that they committed crimes against are also justice-involved individuals. So what does that do? Puts them both on the same ground. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You think about it, San Francisco right now has the highest crime rate of any city in the country, and this is their solution. That's amazing. And their solution is not more police. The solution is, well, we just won't call them felons anymore. Also, they're going to do away with the term juvenile delinquents. They'll be called young people impacted by the juvenile justice system, which makes it sound like it's the justice system's fault. And once again, this is their solution to the problem of crime. And these are elected individuals. So the elected individuals profess themselves to be wise and fools. What are the people that elect them? Same thing. So again, it's proven every day. Romans 1:22. But in verse 23, they replace God. And we've looked at that verse. It's a violation of the very first command, which is foundational. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And anything that gives a back seat to God is an idol. They take God out of his rightful place and replace him with something else. And that, of course, has been going on for a long, long time. In Psalm 135, to do this is utter foolishness. Again, it's the result of professing themselves to be wise. They became fools. Psalm 135, verse 15, the idols of the heathen are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. Think about the heathen. Heathen are anybody who puts something ahead of God. That's heathenistic. They have mouths, speaking of their idols, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. In other words, these individuals settle for shadows rather than substance. And this becomes degrading. Verse 18, they that make them are like unto them. So is everyone that trusteth in them. That idol is dumb. That idol has no life. They that make them are like them. They that trust them are like them. So it's to replace God is degrading. It's degrading. Yet those who profess themselves to be wise but have become fools, they don't look at it as degrading. They look at it as we're progressing. In Jeremiah chapter 2, Jeremiah chapter 2, and verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, what iniquity have your fathers found in me, that they are gone far from me, and have walked after vanity, and are become vain? They not only walk after emptiness, they have become vain. They have become empty. And again, it all starts with a rejection of God's general revelation. That leads to vain imaginations. Vain imaginations leads into darkened hearts. This results in self-proclaimed wisdom, but in reality, a digression in thought process leading to a replacement of God. We will replace God. Which leads us to the next thing in Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. Now some may look at verse 25 and say, well, it's just a repeat of verse 23. And in a sense, it is a repeat of verse 23, but it's much more than that. It's a further step away from God. They not only replace God, but here in verse 25, life is now about self. And life is about the temporal. You replace God, that changes the meaning of life. That changes the focus, that changes the priority of life. And the key here is they worshiped and served the creature, created things more than the Creator. So life has now become about self and temporal things. And we, of course, are, that describes the world today. Life is about self. Life is about the temporal. Overall, generally speaking, that is so. People worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. That's not only so of unsaved people. That is also so of God's people who have fallen into this cycle of digression. So they put the creature ahead of the Creator. They put creation ahead of the Creator. The creature, created things, including themselves, becomes the focus in life. You replace God, eventually that leads to a me-centered, temporal-centered life. So the temporal becomes the purpose of life. What does that mean? That means that you have a life of misplaced purpose. Purpose defines everything in life. and you have a life of misplaced purpose. The temporal becomes the supreme thing in life. So you have a life of misplaced values. And if the focus is upon self, you have a self-value system. Everyone determines their own values. In other words, there is no standard of measurement and there's no values. So it is a world of misplaced values. The temporal becomes the meaning of life. A life with no real meaning. The temporal vanishes away. And if the temporal becomes the meaning of life, life has no real meaning. Life becomes meaningless. And if life is meaningless, again, that affects values. The temporal becomes the pursuit of life. So you have a life of misdirection. So we have a life of misplaced purpose, a life of misplaced values, a life with no real meaning, a life of misdirection. When God is replaced and when life is about self and the temporal becomes the dominating factor in life. When that is so, you have a life of enslavement. And today we see people talking about freedom and they are slaves. There's a lot of slave masters in the United States. There's a lot of slave masters throughout the world. Notice in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants, his slaves, ye are to whom ye obey. Whether sin unto death," if your slave master is sin, that road's going to take you to death, "or of obedience unto righteousness." Everybody is controlled by something or someone. And we, of course, are to yield to God. So the temporal becomes the focus. It becomes the dominating factor in life. You have a life of enslavement. When the temporal becomes man's hope in life, you have a life of disappointment. This is life today. The temporal is man's hope in life. That's why people talk about the economy so much. That's where their hope is. I mean, we all enjoy a good economy. We all want a good economy. But that's not our main focus for you and I. But for those who put their hope in the temporal, it's going to be a life of disappointment. The Word of God teaches that God is a source of life. But man has moved away from God. And in his vain imaginations and in his darkened heart and self-proclaimed wisdom and foolishness, he views the temporal as the source of his life. And everything is disorder. And everything is chaos. Man moves away from God. He lives his life detached from God. And he lives his life in close relationship and association with the temporal. And the temporal becomes everything. And life is no longer joyful. Life is no longer sweet and fulfilling. But rather, life becomes an exasperation and an annoyance. And life is empty. And all you have to do is, I mean, listen to these people talk. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Listen to them. They're angry individuals. I mean, they are not happy individuals. And you, again, you can just sit and watch people. I don't care where it is. And there aren't too many people happy. There aren't too many people who do not find life to be an annoyance and just empty. And it all begins with a rejection of God, which leads to eventually a replacement of God, which leads to eventually life becomes to be about something else, the temporal. So they worshiped and served the creature, created things more than the Creator. Man in this state of departure from God, and with vain imaginations and with darkness of heart, gives preeminence to the temporal, desires and revels and thinks upon the temporal, and loves the temporal rather than God. And again, the temporal includes himself. And man becomes a god to himself. And that's where we are. Man has become a god to himself. And notice what he does. He worships the creature or the temporal. And he serves the creature or the temporal. He worships temporal things rather than God. That is, he reverences these things. He exalts these things. He honors these things. He gives preeminence to these things. He desires these things. He revels in these things. He thinks in these things. He loves these things rather than God. He has become a god to himself. And not only does he worship these things, he serves. They give their lives to the temporal. They give their lives to that which will ruin them. That which will destroy them. That which will make them miserable. That which will ruin their home. And they give their life unto these things. They feel that the temporal is the reason that they're here. That's their god. Everything becomes self and temporal centered. And now we live in the age or the era of the narcissist. And you have narcissist raising narcissist, and it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. And the results, this results in many very serious and destructive problems. Again, we have problems we never had before. And we're going to have problems that you and I can't even imagine. Because that's where this stuff leads. The culture of narcissism fosters such things as discontent, restlessness, and it just feeds dysfunction. So the emotional and spiritual devastation caused by narcissism has not been fully comprehended. The monster of self has been unleashed in our society. And what a destructive monster it is. Now we live in a society that is overcome with the idea of self-importance, the overestimation of abilities, the inflation of so-called accomplishments, and they expect constant attention, constant admiration. Again, it is an obsession with self, and that's what happens when you replace God. The results, again, are manifold. So the cycle so far is reject God, That leads to vanity. Vanity, as it progresses, leads to spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness, as it progresses, leads to self-deception and ignorance. And as that progresses, it leads to a replacement of God. And then that life eventually loses its meaning. Life loses its purpose. And the cycle continues throughout generations. And the cycle accelerates as it goes. The last 10 years, that cycle has accelerated at an unbelievable rate. And it's going to accelerate more. It's just going to keep picking up speed. And the consequences become more and more grave. The consequences become more and more widespread. Again, the politicians, the educators talk about fixing the problem. They don't even know what the problem is. They don't realize they are the problem. And just leads to a, all of this just leads to a greater judgment from God. It is the result of the judgment of God, and it leads to even a greater judgment of God. And since the fall of man in the garden, we see this deadly cycle. And history has been marked by the cycle. The book of Judges basically is a summary of that cycle over and over. It's where we are today. Now, the subject of philosophy. I can remember philosophy class in college. I thought it was extremely boring. But it is something that's interesting. If you look back, you can get a better picture of where we are today. You go back to George Frederick Hegel. He was a German philosopher just before Adolf Hitler. And he presented the concept. And again, none of this is new. It goes back to Genesis 3. But he presented the concept of what is known as dialectic materialism. Dialectic materialism. What does that mean? Well, here's what he says. There's a thesis, an idea. That thesis is attacked by an antithesis, or the opposite. It is attacked by the opposite. Out of that comes a synthesis, or a new truth. A new truth. Those two words are very dangerous. New truth. There are no new truth. Book of Ecclesiastes. There's no new truth. So you have this idea. This idea is attacked by an opposite idea. And out of that comes a new truth. That's why they always want to, they say, they don't really, but We just want to discuss the matters because they believe that ideas can present new truth. They've already rejected truth, but they want new truth. The philosophy is deeply rooted in the idea that there is no absolute truth. There is no absolute truth. That truth is constantly evolving. And you say, what does that have to do with anything? Oh, it has a lot to do with everything. Our public education system goes back to these philosophies. There is Again, Hegel's foundation is there is no absolute truth. That makes man the determiner of truth. He also added the concept of two spheres. You have a public sphere, you have a private sphere. And the two never, ever come together. They never come together. They are two opposites. The idea is that the spiritual is never to influence the public. Never. They're two separate entities. There are a lot of God's people that think that way. I can behave however I want on my job. I have my church life and I have my public life. That goes back, well, it goes way back to the garden, but it goes back to Hegel's philosophy. These are two, if you have spirituality, you must keep that separate from public. It's the same today that spirituality does not belong in government. It's the same idea. These are not new thoughts. There are no new thoughts. It goes back to Hegel. It goes back to his philosophy. He got his philosophy from before that. And it eventually traces itself back to Satan. But there is no correlation between private and public. That's why there's God's people who can vote for people who it does not line up with what they profess spiritually. But you see, they don't have a problem because to them, that's two separate. It's like they're living two lives. It's two separate things. Yes, I believe this, but that's my private life. And my private is never to affect my public. So therefore, I can vote for someone who believes in abortion or whatever. And again, there's no new theories. Then Karl Marx comes along and he advances on Hegel's philosophy. And he comes up with the term, or he advances the theory of dialectic materialism, and he begins to add some of his own thoughts, such as God is a creation of man. God is a creation of man. And that religion is the drug of the people. Religion's just a drug. And that the state is to be the absolute authority over a man's life. And that the state determines what is right or wrong. See, Hegel, you have this idea, you have an opposite idea, these two have a conflict, and then you come up with a new truth. Well, Karl Marx takes it a little further, and he says, no, the state determines what is true, what is right, what is wrong. And we're right back there today. We're right back there. Again, these are not new philosophies. They just feed upon old philosophies, and they're just worded a little different. But basically, the same thing. Sigmund Freud comes along, known as the father of modern-day psychology. He adds the idea of central desires. The idea is that all of man's motivations are based upon physical desires, and in order to fulfill those desires, there is no absolute right or wrong, but all is relative to man fulfilling his desire. Again, that we're right back there today. And that's why when these people talk about progressing, They're not progressing, they're digressing. They're going back to old ideas that have been around for thousands of years. But they think that this is all something new. Nothing new about it. John Dewey, of course, he takes all of these, and makes them the foundation of progressive education, establishing a humanistic approach to education. So John Dewey, he studies these philosophies of these individuals, and he just takes a little bit of all of them. And he basically is the father of, again, education. And now we have generations that have developed the mindset of these philosophies. And that's why people think the way they think today. Their foundation is built upon false philosophies. We have to have some understanding where these things come from, because they're not new. They're not new. They're going backwards. They're not progressing. They're going backwards to old philosophies. I get a kick, not in a humorous way, when the liberals talk about the conservatives and they just won't let go of the old ideas. They're the same way. They just won't let go of a different set of ideas. But they think they've come up with all these things. This is their thought process. But again, there's nothing new. It all goes back to Satan and philosophers through the years. God help us to be able to identify the foolishness that's all around us. Let's look to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, that you are a God. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us faith to believe you, to trust you. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to always do that, to just believe and trust you and lean upon you. Lord, help us, and we pray that you'd help us to worship you this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.